Listeners be advised. The Holiloquy podcast discusses matters related to the human experience and many that are sexual in nature. Due to this, some conversations may surround triggering topics such as sexual violence, self-harm, abuse, and much more. Please be advised. A list of crisis and psychological resources will be available in the show notes of this episode. With that said, let's get started with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please, as we go through the following safety instructions.
In the event that there is a loss of cabin pressure, oxygen mask will drop from the overhead. Place the mask over your nose and mouth. Breathe normally as oxygen is flowing even if the mask is not accessible. Be sure to adjust your own mask before helping others.
Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to the Holiloquy podcast, where we step out and speak on sexuality. This is your favorite host, Vernon T. Scott, also known as Slater Jackson. And for you freaky motherfuckers out there, Sebastian Adams. On today's episode, we're throwing it back. Okay. I probably shouldn't say throwing it back because my first thought was we shaking the ass. It's a throwback. It's a throwback. Okay. to a topic that we have not discussed for some time now. No fats, no film, no old people. We're getting into it. And with me, I have a voluptuous and beautiful being by the name of Manny with me. How are you doing?
I'm well. I'm very excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you with me today. So to start things off, because you're new to the show, people just like, who the fuck is Manny? It's season 3 of the podcast. I don't know who this is. Y'all know how things work. Of course, Manny's going to introduce themselves and we're going to go from there. Okay, cool. So Manny, who the fuck are you?
The question, the way that you asked it was so delightful. So I am Manny, pronouns he and they, your resident trans deity for the day. Yes. I recently just changed my title again. But at this time, I am a decolonization and embodiment guide. I like on their self-intimacy journey, intersectionality, as well as just like relational awareness, because truly we are in relationship with everything and everyone, the world around us, the trees, the air, as well as people at the grocery store, right? So all of those things, the way that we treat folks, and our sort of code of ethic within ourselves around communication and boundaries and apologizing, all of these things are so important. And I like to teach people those skills because people ain't teaching it. They just expect me to know.
That touched a chord a little bit, because the amount of people I come across day to day where I've become very accustomed to just taking a step outside of myself, because I know I have those skills to have the conversations with people. And I've worked on myself. I've been in therapy. I did the self work to keep myself from being emotionally elevated on the simplest of things. So I often find myself having to be like, you know what? This is not the time for that. This is not. And it provides a level of grace that I get to extend to so many other people, because I know they haven't been taught these things. I know they haven't had access to those things. And even like in my current living environment where I have roommates again, and how they may have issues here and there, I don't automatically go to them and just be like, I want to cuss you out. I want to do these things. No. Okay, you're angry about something. Let's have a conversation about it, okay? Like, what's going on? Why are you frustrated? Why do you see hostility when it's actually accountability? Like, can we just shift the focus of what we're doing here? Because we don't have to be antagonistic to each other. We don't have to do all these things because one, I don't got the energy for that. But I also know that because you perceive, you see a lot of the conversations within the group chat or the conversations within the household as being negatively fueled. Cool. I understand that, but let's approach this a different way. Like, I do pray. Not really pray, but I hope that conversations are just being aware of not knowing helps people seek out other paths to have like conversations or interact with other people. Like, what's your how you feel about that?
I want to first speak to the point of when people see hostility instead of accountability. Whew. I was just talking about that with someone where some people see, they feel ashamed when folks are holding them accountable. And so then they turn it on the other person and go, "Oh, you're shaming me." But actually, there's a difference between shaming and holding someone accountable. And then there's also between hostility and accountability. And just because, like, when somebody brings something to you, you get triggered, it doesn't mean that that's how you should respond, right? The moment of the trigger is the moment to pause and go, "Oh shit, let me go emotionally regulate," you know, because it's human. Of course, we have emotions, you know. But what happens is, like, when we're interacting with these other humans and when we're dysregulated, it just causes a whole lot of more shit. And so that's what I want to help people with in that moment, to be like, "This is the time, pause." Like, going further right now when you all you see is red, you put your trauma rose colored lenses on, it's not a good idea. Just please don't step away.
Listen, have you ever tried to just tell somebody, you know what? I need you to sit in this moment right quick. And just like, I know I've done that with some college students in the past. Whenever they would come to me, they're frustrated and everything. And, or most definitely when they're stressed out. And I would just tell them, okay, what we're going to do, we're going to stop pacing. Okay. And sit down, take a deep breath. They take a couple breaths. And I'm like, okay, how are you feeling? A little bit better. Okay, can we have a conversation now? Because you came up in here with all this hostility. You came up in here with all this anger. You shifted my chakras, motherfucker, and I didn't consent to that. What we're not going to do is that. I was having a good day. I'm listening to Anita Baker. I'm vibing, motherfucker. Why are you in my office?
And also, people have had to definitely do that for me as well. I remember when I was an undergrad and I was tripping about all kind of stuff. I mean, I wasn't paying attention to my due dates, and next thing I know, I got 10 assignments due in the same night. And you know, my mental health is in shambles, all other things. And I'm like freaking out. I'm like, "Oh my God, I don't know what I'm gonna do." I'm starting to shake. I'm like, all these things are happening. And somebody had to tell me, "Pause. Have a seat and breathe." Like, it'd be something that simple sometimes to get you just back together. And so I remember, in that particular circumstance, I breathed, I closed my eyes for a second, and then she said, "Now what are you gonna do?" I said, "Ooh, okay, made a plan immediately and got on it." Like, you know, and so it's so beautiful to have somebody there in that moment where you're like frazzled and shit, and you just need somebody to be like, "Hey, it's not the end of the world. It feels like it, but it's not," you know.
Right.
I love living listening to Tabitha Brown when I'm having those moments.
Well, you just need somebody to call you baby.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it. I get it. Oh, God. So, like, well, this is just a message for the college students out there. If you're listening to this and you come across that, and you know you're in that moment because who knows, it might be approaching finals time when this comes out. It may be just the summertime. It may just be you're the third weekend and you just realized that you actually had homework in that one class that you thought was easy. You never know because I've been there. I almost missed a whole final. Like I'm over here at fucking Olive Garden with my friends, having a good old time. One of my friends, also he was a fellow RA. He called me. He was like, "Vernon, where the fuck are you?" It's like, "What you mean? I'm at Olive Garden." He was like, "You know we have a final right now, right?" I was like, "Bitch, oh God, that's seeritis, bitch." But sometimes you really do just have to give yourself a moment. Don't ever be afraid to reach out to your professor. Many of them are willing to work with you, especially if you show them that you have an actual work ethic. It's not about every time I'm in trouble, let me hit up this professor. That's not going to work. You have to prove to them that you're willing to put in the work first, and they will always be there to fight your battles with you. So
Yes,
take that.
I just got there. I'm degree number three, and I finally got to the point where I speak up. Thank
Yes. Well,
you.
number three is when you, but
It's
you made it through.
true. For number two, I mean, it was pandemic time, and I had got to a couple of places where I did have to speak up because they were like, financial aid was like, "Hey, what's going on?" And I was like, "Guys, no, don't play with me. I'm just struggling because of the pandemic, guys." Okay, so it was so weird. The school that I went to, they had this rule about, okay, so most schools have a rule about how many classes you can withdraw from, right? So I was like, "I know I'm close to the limit, but I'm not there yet." But apparently, they have this other rule about the percentage of classes you complete versus the percentage of classes that you withdraw from. Anyway, the percentages wasn't right for them. And it was like, "We gonna pull your financial aid."
They said, "Come on in the room."
And at first, I was so confused. I was like, "Guys, what are y'all talking about? This is lies. This is just inaccurate." And then I went back and I was like, "Oh, it is, that is what y'all say." So then I had to write one of them, baby, please don't take my financial aid type letters.
Yes. I get it. Look, I learned to actually speak up for myself when it came to when I was earning my doctorate. I was in this class that I only had like a couple I was already behind, and it was because a lot of work shit put me behind and all that. And I ended up getting a C in one class. And that was because I don't know what the fuck was wrong with that professor. I think she was just mad at everybody, and she failed half the class. Like, well, failed meaning gave us a C. And you know, with grad program, C is an F. If you didn't know, there you go. Be ready, be warned.
He's so ready.
So they were like, if you get another C, you gotta go. So, and literally, my next class, which was a repeat. I just told my professor, I was like, "Hey, I literally have this work from the last class. Can I just turn it in the same way?" He was like, "Yeah, do that." Got an A in the class. So I'm like, "Bitch, how the fuck did I get to see the first time? But we're not getting to this." Now, later on, when I saw that my grade was not where it's needed to be, and that some of the stuff was not matching the rubric to what my professor was grading me on, when I tell you I got that voice, because I was like, "Bitch, I am not getting kicked the fuck up out of this program, and I only have less than a year to complete. We're not doing that." Like, I came to this man and my advisor and all those people who can keep me in school with conversations that I had with him, conversations that I had with other students, conversations that I exchanged with my advisor as well, about me knowing that I'll be in this chopping block of having to fight for myself, came with receipts and everything. 'Cause I was like, "What we're not going to do is play with my fucking grade."
Come on.
Like, I was lawyer that day. I, bitch, Johnny Cochran. If is he the lawyer? I think he is. Bitch, look, I would have got OJ off that
Okay,
day.
period.
Listen, I came with all the fucking receipts, because what we're not going to do is play with my fucking grades.
That's what we're not going to do, period. Yes.
It's been self-advocacy from that point on. Like, when you get that energy, you see that, oh, my life goals can be interrupted by one motherfucker. Oh, we're going to fight for this. You go, I'm going to have to earn that motherfucking C, meaning I either didn't do the work or we fought this shit out. on the grass. See you there at 2. Bitch, show up. The Holiloquy podcast focuses on the variability of sexual expression. When it comes to sexual expression, we often depend on pornography to illustrate how one must perform sexually. For those who have not learned this by now, the stuff you see in porn is not real. Pornography provides a singular perspective of sexual expression that is not often the reality we see during our own sexual encounters. The Holiloquy podcast is a conversation that takes you outside of the compressed box of what many know about sex. Some of the topics we discuss includes kinks, condom usage, status disclosure, and past sexual experiences. The Holiloquy podcast steps out on sexual norms and recognizes that the norm is not the only normal. Subscribe today and join the conversation.
You get that energy? You see that, oh, my life goals can be interrupted by one motherfucker? Oh, we're going to fight for this. I'm going to have to earn that motherfucking C, meaning I either didn't do the work, or we fought this shit out on the grass. See you there at 2. Bitch, show up.
Show the fuck up. Oh my God, why was it like that? What was with the 2 C's and you're out? Like, there was no reason.
Like, what are we doing?
Exactly.
Oh, undergrad was such a gift because I got all the C's.
C's up and down that transcript, okay? Like, what, worried about no goddamn C? Dang.
I was like, look, have my financial aid? Is that secured? Oh, it is. Okay, they said, as long as you got a 2.5 or better, and it's better.
And it's better. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, God. Okay, we need to get into this damn topic.
We be on the school trauma all damn day.
Listen. That'd be another episode. Yeah. All right. So one of the things we were talking about in the intake meeting was body neutrality, as well as when you disassociate it from your body. So let's bring that conversation back up. First off, what is body neutrality for those people who don't know what that means?
Okay, excellent. So for me, body neutrality, in my experience, it was very much like I had the awareness of having a body, but it really didn't go any further than that. I was disconnected, and like even in the shower, take really quick showers or just like really not look at myself. I'm not explaining, but it was just like, yeah, I really wasn't interested in fully perceiving myself. So it was just kind of like, I got a body. Other people got bodies, you know, not really concerned with anything else as far as like the size or the shape or how things look or whatever. It's kind of just like, it's here and it functions. So that's great.
Make it moves.
And we were.
Right.
Really thankful. No, but like, I mean, well, I don't think I was as thankful as I am now, but I was like, I'm grateful for good health, you know? I am like more so now, you know, with pandemic and with more awareness about how easy it is to, you know, for health to shift. I now like so much more grateful.
I get that. I know, because one of the things we were talking about, because I know I live most of my life being aware of my body and everything, and seeing myself in the mirror, and part of my self-love journey was knowing who I was inside of that body and appreciating that. And I know one of the things that really stumped me, because I was like, I don't know how different I would be if I lived most of my life not even acknowledging the suit that I'm in. Like, I know I dress it, I know I put the clothing on, and which also brings up a memory of just not even having that autonomy in the clothes that I wore as a child. That's a different conversation, but still having the ability, at least these days, to dress my body however I want to. If I want to add a piercing, do that. If I want to add a tattoo, willingly doing that without being ashamed of what artwork I add. And how that leads to
my form of appreciation, but even like you mentioned, there was still an appreciation that you had in the seeing yourself, well, or the absence of seeing yourself is like, I know it's here, I know it's functioning, it's doing what it needs to do. And then that appreciation just grew when you came to came to be in and know that know your body. What was that experience like growing into your body?
It was a challenge. It took some years to really connect to myself. So it was initially connecting to my body as a whole, like the perimeter of my body, and also feeling safe enough for my spirit to feel housed in this body and to be like, and it's safe to be home. It took me a really long time to feel like, oh, okay, like I can be in all, I can hold the full space of this home and not just, shrink and oh, like just certain parts, because, growing up there was a lot, I experienced, oh, trigger warning, a ton of sexual assault. And so the parts that everybody liked were the parts that I struggled with the most. People were like, oh, your curves, your ass, your titties, and I'd be like, and now I don't want those parts to be perceived because I had internalized the belief that, like, oh, this is why I was assaulted. And so the coming back to myself, the coming into myself was like a struggle. And then I had to do it by parts of like, okay, I think it really started with the gratitude, like, okay, I'm grateful for my hands, I'm grateful that I can write, I'm grateful that my hands can like pick up things. And then that led into like body prayers and me like doing one of my shower rituals, which I haven't done in forever, but a couple of them were to first slow down and to actually connect with each body part as I'm washing it, and then like actually being grateful for their existence and being like, oh my gosh, what would I do without my hands? What would I do without my arms? Like stuff like that. And then over time, I started to view my body as art and as like a masterpiece, really. Like I was thinking a lot about those sculptures where they have that tool where they like shape it down or whatever. And I was thinking about that experience of like kind of carving down all of the beliefs that people were throwing at me that actually never stuck. But they were like, so stuck. And
I understood. The
okay.
negrosity of me understood. Okay, the niggas out here got that.
But yeah, folks will be like, oh, I never really got called fat that often, but like a couple times it happened. And I would just be like, oh, okay, that's a word. It's just kind of hung in the air. There was no like, oh, I think that because they said that. It was just like, okay. But it was never a word I was comfortable with until like within the last few years, because I found community and I've been like, oh, this is really cool. But when it comes to ADHD, my
I get
was like, yeah,
it. I get it. I get it. No, when you were speaking, and whenever the thought comes back, just jump on in. It'll be fine.
going?
But I was thinking about just the ways that I learned to appreciate my body. And I have to say, a lot of that I owe to Monique. The comedian, because she not necessarily from the Parkers. From the Parkers, it was more of a message of being ashamed of the body, being ashamed of fatness. Even though Kim, looking back at it, I'm like, why were we perceiving her as being fat? Like, because sis was not. She was thick. Good God, but not fat. But it made me like watching the Parkers made me feel as though being big means that you have to overexert yourself to feel beautiful. You had to do extra work But outside of that, seeing Monique as a comedian, that fed into me and my own body positivity because she would mention her weight and she would use her weight as an asset. She would use it as a strength of hers. She would use it as just a part of who she is and not something that is her totality. Yeah, I might be big, but I'm fine as fuck. I can get me a man. I can get me, well, she doesn't say she can get her a woman, but you know, just in general, she can get somebody. She can find love. She can find happiness. She's a whole ass fucking star out here, and you guys are going to appreciate it. She made that movie Fat Girls, I believe that was the name of it. Like, that was a beautiful thing to see. You have some big bone women out here making their own money, making their own success, having international romance and shit. She was like, if these motherfuckers in the States can't appreciate me, I'll find a motherfucker overseas because guess what? Bitch, I'm fine and I know it. Like, even seeing her go through a stage of being depressed in the film to being living in her success story was beneficial to me, and that's something that I didn't get to see most definitely with a lot of male comedians or even male body figures, so I couldn't really look at them as a figure of how to appreciate my body and appreciate my fatness or just appreciate the fact that my body's made a little bit like some extra sauce to it. Like, that's what it is. Like, it's not to say that you're less saucy because you don't have everything that I got. A
Yay.
full motherfucking body over here, extra, extra large, okay?
Come
But
on.
it's just, you're your own type of sauciness, okay? I just got a little bit of extra. So when somebody wants a little bit more, it's already there for them. That's it. That's it. We could still be the same flavor of sauce. I just came with a little bit of extra. That's all.
Yay. I think too in my body journey, I have recognized in my youth where I was when I was fat phobic, and I also recognized where I was also at different times skinny phobic, and how that can be just as harmful. And in recent years, when I've come into body love, what I recognize is like, oh, like everybody has a great body. Like it's not like you need
Yes.
to fit into some sort of condition or mold or whatever. Like, no, like everybody's body is great and it deserves to be treated well. Everyone deserves to be treated well. And so like and I personally really love and adore giving and receiving body worship. Everybody's not into it, so I don't like make people experience any well anything that they don't want to experience. But yeah, like that it can be so good. I remember I was at a retreat and somebody was like, y'all, I don't really like the way my butt looks today. Like I could really use some love. And I was like, can I body worship you? And they were like, yeah. And it ended up being such a beautiful experience, and people like crowded around, and then folks were like, me next. And I was like, yo, I'm actually here to work, so I gotta go. But it was so cool. I remember my thought from earlier. So with the scraper, I was kind of like scraping away those ideas where people were like, oh, you should hate your belly or whatever. And even though those they didn't necessarily affect me, they were still like si sitting in my subconscious, so I needed to like get those out. But I think when I was like really, really young, I saw Buddha for the first time, and really every time I see a Buddha statue, I'm so happy, and like I'm like, oh my gosh, look at his big belly and his big smile, like it's so good. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, I will never be ashamed of my belly, like period. And yeah, and I grew up with people who were thick, fat, like all across the board, the range of that experience. And so for me, it was always a celebration. It wasn't an issue until we stepped outside the house and people would say their things. But I'd be like, okay, whatever, so it's interesting that it wasn't never anything that really like deeply impacted me. But as I've come into myself and been like in this reality of that, like my body's a masterpiece, their body's a masterpiece, like it's just all amazing. And like as a whole, for what bodies can do, for the way that they maintain themselves without us having to ask them to, the way our hearts beat, the way that our lungs function, like all the things for that alone. And then also the body be bodying, okay? The body be bodying. So
All
like
the time.
loving it from both places of like loving it internally and loving it externally, loving the moles and the curves and the dips and the what they call them, the love handle, all the stuff, you know, and just being like, this is all very beautiful. This is all art. So yeah, I get really excited. I'm also an exhibitionist and a voyeurist. So I'm like,
Look, love it, love it. Oh, we were talking about just doing body worship with people. Like, I love a good gas up, like be it gassing up other people, gassing up myself. It just makes you feel good. Like one of the things that whenever me and my friend actually get everything situated to actually host this program, like we're going to do a runway. And with the runway, it's not about what they're wearing. It's about gassing the person up regardless of what they're wearing. You can be in some crusty looking shoes, but we're going to let you know those shoes look good on you because those shoes got you here today, bitch. They've been working through the muds. They've been working through everything. Some people's lives are living through those shoes, and we appreciate you for being here because, bitch, you are here today. Those shoes brought you from your door to your car. Even if you had to take the fucking bus, it brought you to this point so everybody could recognize that you look good to fucking day, okay? Like we love to see it on you. Like just, giving people that energy of knowing that what regardless of the space that we're in, there's some beauty amongst you. There's some beauty around you. There's beauty within you. And sometimes you just have to see that for yourself. Or if you can't see it for yourself, give somebody the opportunity to show that to you and appreciate them for showing that to you. Now, that doesn't mean let them lead you any other place because there's some manipulators out there. You just say thank you for your service and keep that shit moving because intentions matter.
But though, yes. Yo, I was watching Hopeless Romantic Society, which is like one of my favorite YouTube and Instagram pages. And there was this guy on there. He was like, well, the interviewer asked him, like, what are your top three red flags? And he was like, emotional manipulation, narcissism, and I forgot the last one. But he was like, yeah, you know how easy it is to like, you meet somebody, if their personality is not very strong, you can just insert some of yours in with theirs. And I was like, now he just admitting it.
Yeah, that's that moment. I'm like, are you telling on yourself? The call is coming from inside of the fucking Zoom today. Like, what you mean? No, I haven't met anybody. I don't do that. Wait, what?
And the way, like, I mean, I like to, I guess I assume the best of people too often, but I always thought that the narcissist didn't know that they was a narcissist. I thought they didn't know. I thought they didn't know. I thought it was all subconscious, you know? But
It's when they realize and they learn with those terms and recognize, oh, that's who I am. Bet I can accept that. Like,
standing in it, walking in it, being so proud of it, you know?
we are in a very interesting age. I was on TikTok and I saw a whole thread of people who self-actualize. I forget I think that's the word, but they know that they're a narcissist and they have a whole ass community of narcissists. I'm like, how, first and foremost, how did I get on this side of TikTok? Two, I'm glad to know that y'all know who y'all are. Three, I can't fuck with any of y'all because one, some of y'all are cute. Three, I know I'm not doing it. I know I'm not doing. I don't care. You can have like the golden asshole or dick. I don't care what the fuck you have in your fucking pants. I'm not going. You could be Erica motherfucking Badu. I am not doing it.
okay. And that shit is so scary. But they're literally doing what we're all doing. We're finding out who we are. We're finding our tribe, like all this stuff. And so from that lens, I'm like, Okay, good job. But also, I'm like, this is so scary. It's like when the white supremacists meet up. Like, it's just, are you supposed to be happy about this? What the fuck?
Oh God. My first thought was the actual white supremacist support group. That needs to be a thing for real. Like, are y'all really trying to heal or are we actually trying to lynch? Intentions matter.
Matter, damn it. Oh my God.
Oh God. All right. All right. That was a beautiful tangent. So just to piggyback off something that you mentioned earlier, because you brought in fashion. And one of the conversations we did have was about fat phobia in fashion and shapewear specifically. First off, let me go ahead and mention I'm a bougie hoe. I know I wear like some basic ass clothes because bitch, I can't afford the clothing that I want because I prefer custom because I like my clothes to fit on me very well. Okay. And the stuff that we have in the stores, they're just fit, for whatever mold a person body's supposed to be. I know I got some gut. I can have a 2X, 3X, or whatever. Sometimes that gut is going to pull up a little bit. So I will want something custom made. And because of that, like, I really do feel like we need to transition to an age where people are getting custom clothing again in a lot more affordable ways because the shit in the stores is not built for everybody. It's not built for all people who are skinny. It's not built for all people that are muscular. And it's definitely not built for all people who are plus size. So we need to do something about that because not all bodies look the same. And that shoulder work that we got going on with these fucking shirts ain't doing it for me because I got broad shoulders and sometimes those little motherfuckers need to slouch sometimes. And I just like to be comfortable.
Yeah, I want to see so much more in the fashion industry. The first thing I want to see is standardized sizing. Like if I go to one store and I'm a 3X over here, I should also be a 3X at the other store. Why is it that it's not the same? I go to the other store and I get up to 5X and it's still tight. So y'all, what's going on? What's going on? Like, what is this? Y'all
Exactly. Lying like hell. I don't know how many shirts I ordered, even online. I'm like, okay, this is actually a bigger size. You always get a little bigger size on your order online because, standard. Why is it that the shirt is tighter than the medium that I tried on that I knew I couldn't fit? Like, what are we doing here? This said it was 4X. Okay. I know I wear 3X or 2X. I know this. Why is it that this 4X that I purchased is fitting like a large? What are we doing here? This said that this I ordered this in the whole ass adult session. It's not kiddies, it's not babies. This was an adult. I don't know who the fuck 4X you thought this was supposed to fit, but bitch, we gotta square up. Again, we're meeting in the grass at 2 p.m. You can meet here with my professor and you'll be right next after that. So 205, because I don't know what kind of hands this motherfucker has, and I might need to recover. So I'll meet you at 205. We're scheduling
Yes. Oh my God. We got to put your ass on the calendar.
ass whooping today. Listen, I just know I can't wear that shirt when I squat up because I won't be able to move my fucking shoulders.
Yes. Yes. Oh God. Yeah.
Oh God. Have you worn shapewear?
Yes, unfortunately, when I was younger in my girlhood, and for a little bit of undergrad, I would put on the shapewear, even though I was like, I don't see the point. This doesn't make sense. And unfortunately, I was getting the shapewear that matched white people's skin tone. And it would be peeking through the clothes, you know what I'm saying? It just wasn't a good idea, you know, just like
Those moments where you don't wear a white shirt, well, you don't wear a white tank top with a white shirt on. Damn.
It was horrendous. It was so bad, and but I wanted to do it because it was the peer pressure. It was my mama pressure as well. Very much like, you need to put on some shapewear and all this stuff. And I'd be like, yeah, for what? Like, it's not even, the shit is uncomfortable. Same thing with the heels. My feet hurting all goddamn day, and just But you're a girl, so you gotta dress up. You gotta wear certain stuff, and you gotta make sure you put your dress on and your heels on. And you know, when you stand there, you look like somebody, and you know, all the stuff around. I'm gonna say beauty politics was just ass. It was just straight ass. And I'm very grateful to no longer wear shapewear because I never believed in the shit anyway. And so trash. And
That's
it's
sweet.
uncomfortable just squeezing your organs and shit. For what? And then when somebody hug you, they feel all the damn shapewear. And you know, if you're trying to fuck somebody, then you got to go to the bathroom now because you got to take shapewear off. You don't want to take it off in front of them. It's a lot. It's a lot. No.
Oh God. Cool, child. I'm fortunate that I have not tried that. It sounds uncomfortable. Like I know I feel some on some level feel frustration and pain for every single person who has to wear a bra because I know how I am when it comes to just underwear in general. I hate the shit. Like I prefer to wear some sweatpants and just go about my day because or some gym shorts because yeah, I'm a free baller. It is what it is. I like it's comfortable, okay? So when I get home and I can take off my underwear, life is great, life is beautiful. But to be out in public and have to be out in public because motherfuckers are scared to see women's nipples like that or just any feminine presenting person's nipples like that they lose their fucking mind. I just cannot imagine to be outside for more than 5 hours in a fucking bra. And then
That's it.
I it's too much. Now I hear mixed messages about training bras. I don't know, some people like, oh, I love those things, and I hear other people, you will fucking lie. And I'm on the side. I know I haven't worn one, but I'm on the side that they are lying. I don't know. Like, I get it protects the bouncing, so I know that's a good support on that end for those who jog and work out and you know rigorous exercises. That's understandable. Yes. Get those things in order because I understand how it is with mine and when they be jumping around and everything. And I just like, bitches, why are you hurting right now? I'm not doing too much. It's a light jog, and you just like, bitch, I want to sag. We're not doing that. We're not fighting. Why are you sore?
Like, put me back in the training bra, honestly. I mean, I have not worn a bra in 52 years, but you know, put me back in the training bra. 'Cause that was great. Life was great. I had as my auntie would say, the ant bites. I had ant bites on my chest. Okay, very tiny titties. And so I want them back, okay? Because the back pain, it's not for me. But I need somebody come cut the titties off because like no.
Look, like I feel for a lot of bigger titty people because I swear, like my sister and I, we used to talk about hers all the time, and she would tell me how painful it is for her, like her back hurting, and then she finally was able to afford her breast reduction. I ain't hear peep since. And I'm like, I love it for you, girl. I love that for you because I understand the struggles because of how many times you had to tell me about. Oh my God, my back is sore.
Felt. And yeah, like mine are not as big as some other people, but I don't need them to get no bigger. I just let them. If they could
Sometimes
just
just slip them right
believe,
here.
put them right on your shoulders. We
Where I'm high and proud, just like, look, we're gonna make it through the day, girls. We're gonna make it through the day today. Oh God. Titties. All right, so the last things that we were going to talk about, they're all kind of interconnected anyways, but just to start it all off is how our society has a strong hatred for femininity in women.
Talk about it. Talk about
To be in the presence
and see in content creators and media, all these people who claim to be heterosexual and to be pursuing women and all these other things, and everything that they say are so anti-women, anti-loving women. It's such like, just say you don't like women and you just like fucking vaginas.
This.
Because all the other shit does not make sense. You don't want to get to know this person that you're trying to fuck. You're not trying to know their personality. Clearly, you have a very strong relationship and emotional connection with your homeboy, but you don't want to be gay. And that's fine. That's cool. That's dandy. But at least be honest with the person who owns the vagina that you're trying to fuck, that you don't like them. That
Is
you're
it?
only there for the sex, that you don't want to be the father, you don't want to take care of nobody's kids, you don't want to have any kind of responsibility, you just want to play 2K with your homeboy and have a homoerotic relationship while you have the opportunity to fuck women. That's fine, that's great, that's dandy, it's cool. It's called homo flexible on some level as well. And it's great. That doesn't mean you have to have sex with a dude. It's cool, it's understandable. But at least acknowledge that you on like some level have a strong hatred for anything that's feminine, which is also why you hate anybody that's on the LGBTQ spectrum. And let's add, there's an additional hatred towards lesbians because they could pursue women in a different way that you could never have, with a lot more game than you can have, and they have a lot more success because you don't know how to even be emotionally available to even manipulate women. And not to say that you have to manipulate, but let's be real. Because if you know a toxic lesbian, you know what happens.
Weird.
And I know a couple. So like let's be honest of why you're jealous, okay? Let's be honest of why you cis men specifically. I know I'm a cis man as well, but I'm a whole different genre of that. I love bisexuality that is within me because I don't know what those heteros be doing over there. It just doesn't make sense. It just does not make sense. What are your sentiments?
Okay, so as a boy dyke who occasionally likes gentle men, not that often, mostly gentle thems are the vibe for me. I want to share that context first. The lens that I am
I
coming
feel
from.
a read coming. So we're clear of where I stand. You niggas.
Period. Oh, we. So it's, I want to start with, I want to start with their mamas. You know, these folks clearly don't even love their own mamas, which, you know, hey, that's your business. You don't love your mama, that's your business.
That too.
it's your business. But I think there is something to be said about the way folk treat their mamas. And in relation to how they treat feminine folk. So when I say feminine folk, I'm talking about anybody who got an ounce of femininity in them. We're talking about cis women, trans women, non-binary folk who are femme presenting. We're talking about gay black men, specifically. I don't know about the other folk that may also be gay. some of our bisexual cis men as well, whoever is showing up with any amount of femininity. That's what I'm talking about when I say my femme folk. I think there's a connection with the way folk treat their mama and the way they treat femme folk. In the same way that people make the comparison with, like, if you have daddy issues, then you will disrespect you, whatever the case. I think that that is those are parallel to each other and can be if we don't do our own healing work. We as an everybody, because everybody has the potential to treat individuals a certain way, especially if they carry a similar energy signature as someone who once triggered you or someone who once harmed you. It can be really hard to distinguish and separate and remember, like, hey, this is not the person who hurt you. This is somebody else. I see this a lot in dating where people will see a similar pattern of like, oh, my ex used to act like this. And instead of like talking to your person and being like, hey, this triggered me, there can be this whole experience of, well, I don't want nothing to do with you because da 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 da. And it's just like, hold on. They're not your ex. They are a completely different human. They may exhibit a similar pattern or so, but it doesn't mean you have to treat them bad or pin the mistakes of somebody else on them, right? I talked to somebody a long time ago who dealt with a lot of ghosting, and we spoke every single day, nonstop. We would FaceTime at night, and then, but multiple times she would say, "Are you gonna ghost me?" I'd be like, "No." I said, "But where's that question come from? Because did I do something? Like, because I felt like I've been pretty consistent." And she was like, "No, it's just that people have ghosted me in the past." And I was like, "So you trying to ghost on me? Like, I'm not understanding. We're like, they don't have nothing to do with me." So when it comes to the cis men who just absolutely despise femininity, I also think to bring it to a sort of spiritual lens, I think it's also internal. The hate, thing about that show or that movie, The Hate U Give, I didn't watch it, but the message of like the hate you give, it comes from inside. Like it's something that you don't like about yourself, and then when you see it reflected in somebody else, you start acting hateful towards them. And so this whole like it feels like a crusade against femininity. The way people are so, or some of these cis men can be so vile towards gay men in particular, who are more feminine, treating them as if they are like disrespecting masculinity, or as if they can't hold multiple spaces at the same time. Come on. Okay, as if they are not a multidimensional being just as much as anyone else. Like there's just so much there as far as like just like treating people as if they're one dimensional, one sided, one way, whatever. Like it's just ridiculous in so many ways, and it doesn't make sense. And so that part of it is just like wild. And they have, so like when I think about gay men who are more femme, and I think about cis and trans women and their similar plights of like, or just anyone across the spectrum of femininity, like if we are out at night and we are, dressed femme, it could be high key femme, it could be, whatever, but like the level of fear we feel going for a job, the level of fear we might feel, just like trying to make it home, there's this episode of Sex Education, like in like season two or something, with Eric, who trigger warning, because this scene tears me up every time, but like on his birthday, he's dressed up for his birthday, and he's got the wig on and the skirt. He looks good. Okay. Our femme queen is doing it. Okay. And on his way home, he gets verbally assaulted and physically assaulted. And I just, my heart just broke because I thought about every single feminine person who's experienced that. And I also thought about like, just hatred, and they were white on top of that. These old white men, they're just drunk as hell, all that shit, just that adds another layer. And so like I think about this hatred and how like fucked up it is, and how expansive the hatred is, how old the hatred is, especially coming from the white patriarchal lens and puritanical lens around gender and the way we quote unquote should dress and how we should quote unquote express ourselves and like all the shoulds. And so I remember seeing that scene and I was just heartbroken. And when he came home and he had that scar on his face, his dad fussed him out for being late and all this stuff and was like, "You need to fix your face," instead of like asking him like, or instead of being concerned, instead of being like, "Who did this to you?" Like, instead of being like, "Oh my God, my child is hurt right now. I need to figure out what's going on." Like, that was nowhere near on his mind. It was more like punishment. And I hated that scene so much because of everything he experienced. Like, somebody always said, like, somebody should have handled that baby. Somebody should have been there to support him through that horrible experience. And they should have been paying attention to him because literally the next day he starts wearing sweatpants and t-shirts. And we know Eric. Eric likes to dress. Like, our queen will fucking dress. And so when you are connected to someone, you're in a community with someone, or this is your family member, and they start dressing different in a more like toned down, bland way, when you know they're more colorful than that, you know they're more vibrant than that. And they kind of look like a zombie. They kind of just look like where was the check-in? Where was the hold on? Where was the we're gonna pull you out of school for a few days. We need to figure out what's going on and how we can support you. But it because he's a boy, it was more like toughen up, and you're gonna have to stay in school, and you're gonna have like it was just like no love for his experience. And so, because his dad, I mean, his dad was coming from more of a place of fear. But yes, so anyway, this is super nuanced, and I feel like I've been explaining it for a minute, but
No,
yeah,
good.
so much this hatred of femininity and all the ways that it shows up and in rap lyrics, how people can be so vile towards anything that looks queer, anything that looks not straight, which scares the fuck out of them because they're like, oh, if you're not straight, then you're queer. But y'all made that hard ass line. Nobody said that it needed to be just like that. Like, y'all are the ones with this puritanical mindset of like, it's either this or that. And it's just like, no, like, your sexual behaviors don't even have to determine your sexual orientation. Your romantic behaviors don't have to determine who you sleep with or who you don't sleep with or whatever. And just to your point earlier around, like, a lot of cis men have homoerotic or homoromantic experiences, and that's okay. Like, and it's okay to be like, you know, I would just rather spend time with my friends, with my people, my community, and have sex with women. And just as long as you're honest with those people and they know, like, you really don't fuck with them, you don't give a fuck about who they are, like, nothing, you just want a hole to ejaculate into, like, there are people who are a match for that. There are people who are like, yes, what I'm looking for as well. And instead of like lying to people and make it seem like, oh, well, you know, she's tripping because da 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 da, and it's just like, actually, she's not tripping. Like, y'all have a mismatch around needs and desires, and y'all just need to fucking talk about it. Like, so many things come down to, bruh, fucking talk about it and stop running, damn it. Stop running.
Stop
Yeah.
running.
Our conversations are hard. Yo, you know what that made me think about? You know how cis guys, when they have sex with anyone with a vagina and they're like, stop running, y'all need to stop running from y'all emotions. You want us to stop running from dick? We want you to stop running from your emotions. Period.
And then the
Just, yes.
Ooh, Chile. Now that's a word. That is the word of the day. One of the thoughts, I know we really do need to go into this never have I ever though, but one of the thoughts that came up, most definitely when you were talking about Eric's situation, is that feminine presenting people, queer people, black women specifically, black trans women, all feminine presenting people, especially those on the black spectrum. We can all come to, especially cis men, cis black men, with our pain on our shoulders, on our face, in our outfits, in all kinds of ways, yelling to you in your face what our struggle is, and you still refuse to see it because we're not fitting the mold that you want us to be in. And the other thought that came up is that just when it comes to femininity overall, it's just how like patriarchy Once you acknowledge it, once you know that it's there, because yeah, there are feminine presenting people who perpetuate patriarchy, but you also have to acknowledge that because patriarchy impacts men negatively as well, cis men as well, masculine presenting people. It impacts us negatively. It impacts everyone negatively. But in order for us to actually get past that, you have to give space for that femininity to show in whatever way it is. You have to allow like whatever your feminine partners may have or the feminine presenting people may say about, oh, you're gay if you drink lemonade, all these other shit. Let them rage out because they've been a victim of patriarchy all this time. But you don't have to accept that narrative. You don't have to perpetuate that negative, that narrative. You can always shift it and be like, I feel you, sister, but at the same time, us men, we're coming together to tell you that it's just lemonade. We can, if you have to be gay, I'll be gay with you, sister. And we can listen to lemonade and drink lemonade together. We can do
Okay.
all these things. Like, in order to dismantle the patriarchy, you have to, one, allow the feminine presenting people to be upset and rage out against the patriarchy, the privilege that the patriarchy provides to those that is meant to benefit. You have to acknowledge that and accept the downside. Like, I have a bunch of female friends and they talk about men all the time. And honestly, I don't say anything because I'm just like, y'all are right. I know that you're not talking about me specifically, and I can acknowledge when I'm wrong whenever they do have to talk about me specifically. But I also give them the space to rage out, even if they want to come to me to talk about how a fuck nigga is a fuck nigga. I'm going to listen. Now, I will say one thing. When Insecure was hot and all out here in these streets, oh no, we was not going to accept that. Because yes, I was not Team Lawrence, just to be honest. One of all the people in that show, I was always Team Molly from day one because I see a hoe and I recognize a hoe and we're a hoe together. I love that woman. So me and Molly was we were like this. Love you, Issa, but it was all about me and Molly. But I was like, when Insecure was going on, oh no, I had my sides on these men's. I had my sides on these men's and I would defend them and everything. Fuck the patriarchy for that. But we also have to recognize outside of the TV show, we could talk about things in the reality as well. So,
Yeah, I didn't watch it here. I think I tried one episode. I was like, I don't like it, so I never came back.
what? It's okay. It's okay. I'm not going to be one of those people. You gotta watch it. No, if you didn't like it, I will say give it another try. But if it's not for you, it's not for you. No, it's okay. All right, so are you ready for a little bit of Never Have I Ever?
Get into it.
All right, I'm going to do one Never Have I Ever and do a Would You Rather. So, never, here we go. Where was it? Where was it? Never have I ever hooked up with someone I just met within the first 24 hours.
Did I do that?
Okay,
No.
Steve Urkel.
Had to think about it because I was like, no, I haven't. I haven't.
Oh, I've been on these grinder streets, so I definitely have.
I mean, I've,
Like,
but, and I've gotten flogged with, but not actual like sex.
it's understandable. Well, let's see. The would you rather. Would you rather watch a couple kiss for 5 minutes straight or watch a graphic sex scene with your parents?
Give me the couple because
Okay. Look, it get real awkward. Like, no, I'm good on that. Even if it's not like, if it's a TV show like Insecure or even like True Blood. True Blood had some sex scenes in it. I'm going, even though I'm not ashamed at what I'm watching, I'm going to cover my eyes because I'm trying to put myself in the mindset of a completely different situation as though a parent of mine is not in this fucking room because I don't want to be here. Oh my God, why are we watching this show? You know what? I'm sick now. I need to go to some water. I need some lemonade. You know what? I'm not even manly anymore. I'm drinking lemonade. I'm over here to get my nails done. It is what it is. Hey girls, how y'all doing?
Fuck all that shit. Hell.
Fuck off. I will definitely watch this couple make out for 5 minutes, and I probably will ask them, can I join bitches? Like, what are we doing here?
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, Manny, do you have any last words that you would like to share with the audience before I close this out?
Be yourself, love yourself, and fuck everybody.
Oh, amen.
Know, fuck everybody. Yeah, but you just fuck everybody, damn it.
It's a mood. It is a mood. And I agree. Well, first off, thank you so much, Manny, for coming onto the podcast. You know, you're greatly appreciated. To the audience out there, thank you all so much for listening to the Holiloquy podcast, where we step out and speak on sexuality. Just in case no one else told you this today, you are beautiful, you are worthy of happiness and joy, you are enough and then some. You may not live up to the expectations of others, but that is okay. You are only required to walk in your own shoes. May each day you live lead you towards abundance. With that said, love you all and see you next episode. Bye. Thank you for listening to the Holiloquy podcast, where we step out and speak on sexuality. You can subscribe to the podcast through your favorite podcasting app and find us on the web at www.holiloquy.com. That's www.HEAUXLILOQUY.com. Share the podcast with your friends and join the conversation.